Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Hello, my name is Felton Wooten, and I'm one of your Monday night radio hosts for ThinkBigRadio.com. And for all the big thinkers out there, we've got an exciting, we have two exciting guests. And I'm going to introduce them, Mashendo and Roosevelt. And they are the author of Charles the Chef. Mashendo, Roosevelt, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Felton. Again, thank you for having us.
Yes.
I'm here.
All right, then. Well, I tell you what, Roosevelt and Mashendo, first of all,
Yes. Would
you just tell a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, if you came from a large family? So if you share with our audience that information, I don't know who wants to go first.
Roosevelt, sure.
I kind of figured I'd be the one to go first. well, originally, Felton, I resided in Wilson, North Carolina. I grew up in the country as a son of a farmer and a teacher. My particular immediate family was quite small, just myself and my sister. I'm the oldest of the two. I've always been interested in writing and living out storybook fantasy, so to speak. I have a background in comic book publishing, writing, as well as promotion. I've worn a lot of hats over the years. I am the father of five children, which definitely helped me in developing what we're going to be talking about tonight. And pretty much that's about it. I'm a 43-year-old male, and I'm constantly wanting to help children and parents and people across the globe improve their health. And that's what my passion lies.
All right. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. Mashendo, if you don't mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself.
No problem. I am 45 years old. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I have five brothers and sisters. I am a twin. My father actually is presently passed away, and my mother is still alive. She still resides in Brooklyn with my brother and sister. Like Roosevelt said, I've always had a passion as a young man, since about the age of five, for art. And I knew at that age that I wanted to be an artist. And once I made that decision, I stayed very, very, very focused on that particular journey, and have developed this talent to the point to where I can actually sort of monetize it and create these wonderful things like the project that we're going to speak to you about this evening. I have moved around a little bit. I did some time in the military. I did 3 years in the military between 1982 and 1985. I did get to travel the world just a little bit, places like Korea. I lived in Hawaii for a brief time. I have traveled to New Zealand as well. I moved back to Brooklyn after that particular run in the military. About 85, I came back to New York, and I started my own business there with my art. However, I've been drawing through the military through that whole time. I moved to North Carolina fairly recently. I've been living in North Carolina about, I would say, 3.5 years. Roosevelt had been trying to get me to move to North Carolina for some time, and I never thought that I would. Yeah, because from New York City to North Carolina, I guess in theory, would be a very traumatic change. But it didn't seem to be that way for me because of the nature of my work and the tranquility I like to maintain. I think that's a little bit about me and why we're here tonight, and what Roosevelt and I have to share with you is very fantastic as far as assisting parents aid their children in the idea of healthy eating.
Okay. Well, now let me ask you a question, both of you. At what point did you believe that you could accomplish your mission and your dream?
Now, is that for me or Roosevelt?
For both. So if Roosevelt, if you want to start first, and Machindo, if you want to answer that.
I think that for me, it was it wasn't brain surgery. I think that once you look out into the world and see people as people, you sort of pick up on some of the issues that we all have within our lives. And, of course, health is always the foundation in which we live. If our health is bad, then, you know, it resonates throughout our culture. So when you look at opportunity, you know, as a business-minded person, because not only am I an author, I'm also a businessman, so I look at opportunities as open doors. And in this particular instance, there was a definite need as children continue to grow out of control, literally. You're looking at childhood obesity, which is the focus of what Michelle and I will be sharing and why we created this special character to combat that. When you see the need that is there and that it hasn't gone away, that it actually has increased since we developed Charles the Chef almost close to 4 years ago now. It continues to ripple throughout our society, and you can see it. So when you see it, when you recognize the need, and you have the solution, there's no doubt that you're going to be successful. It doesn't mean it's going to be overnight success, but it is about continue to tout your message. And once people start to really listen and see that it can affect their lives in a positive manner, you know, the dream is going to be reality.
Right. Okay. And Michelle, how about you?
Well, for me, I realized that what we were doing would definitely have possibility because at a very, very young age, I took it upon myself to actually investigate alternative ways of eating. So since I was about 18 years old, I've been a vegetarian. And from that long span of time, what I was thrust into was looking for alternatives to what was considered the normal diet. And what I found was wonderful, wonderful information that is it common knowledge about how we should eat and what we should be eating and when. So when Roosevelt came to me with the idea that he had because of the experience he had with his nephew's obesity, for me, it was already, that was something I already had been practicing most of my life, or most of my adult life. So I already knew that there was room for it. It was just that the vehicle, which again, I'm very comfortable with being an artist, being a cartoonist and all of that. My thing was just time. And I knew the time was right because when I first started the practice of vegetarianism, that early transition, there were no vegetarian, well, I shouldn't say no, there were not many vegetarian restaurants. There were not many places that you can actually get an alternative menu if you did not consume meat or dairy and that thing. So over the years, I've actually watched the public awareness to healthy eating actually change. Some of the things that 20 years ago I thought was extreme are quite normal, like the idea of a colonic, for instance. Isn't as strange as it sounding as it used to be.
Right, right. And I think what both of y'all said about your mission, because a lot of our listeners are business people thinking about going into business, and
yes.
Your passion is important as you're starting a business because it's not like work. But you have given, I think, a good idea and a good summary of what people can look towards and what they can include in making their life mission. So with that, I think you've already mentioned, but would you tell the audience, how did Charles the Chef come to reality?
Well, if you mean the process or the idea, Roosevelt, since you came up with the idea and you do have an anecdote for that, I would let Roosevelt lead out, and then I'll handle the second part of it as far as manifesting the character and the look itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charles Chef came to mind, again, as mentioned, about my relative, my nephew at the time when he was growing up, and seeing that his eating habits wasn't the best, and that looking at the process, and not only him but other children as well, if your eating habits are not set well while you're young, you will continue down that path as you get older. So if you're used to or you are continually practicing or being habitual in eating fast foods or fatty foods or greasy foods or soda and things like that, well, once you are past age 5, okay, your habits are pretty much set in stone. Now, that doesn't mean they can't change, but it does mean that it's much harder and much more difficult. So what ends up happening, children, again, grow out of control, literally, because of what they're eating and what they're taking in. A lot of processed meats, a lot of hormone treatment type meats, not eating a lot of vegetables, not drinking a lot of water. Those things are a recipe for disaster physically. And basically statistics show that this generation of children are not expected to outlive their parents, and that is totally unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So seeing that, not only within my own family, but just, again, looking at society as a whole, it came to me to think, well, what if there was a cartoon character that would be able to help children stay on the right track, that would be focused on nutrition? And I looked around, again, having 5 children, I watch a lot more cartoons than I would like to these days. But I have utilized it to my benefit, because I'm able to do a little bit of marketing research just by watching television. And there are a lot of great characters out there. Some of them you may have heard of. SpongeBob, of course, you know, Disney, Mickey Mouse. The list goes on. But what has been a major issue, and where I saw a need for Charles the Chef, which is the name of our character, to really come in and take a stand, is that a lot of these characters, even Mickey Mouse, who I grew up with, you will find them advertising or marketing foods that have no nutritional value, none
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. A lot of sweets, a lot of candies. So what ends up happening is that you have a child who at age 1.5, because now parents are working, right? They're not at home as much. So what happens is that they end up putting the child in front of the television, letting the TV raise the child. So the child is taking in Mickey Mouse images. They're taking in Sesame Street images. My youngest son, he already knows who Mickey Mouse is. Well, how did that happen? Because he's absorbing it from TV. But guess what? When we go to the grocery store and he sees Mickey Mouse on a package of sugary sweets, guess what he wants? He wants those sugary sweets. Because he's taking the image and matching them. Mickey Mouse is fun, so those sweets must be fun. I must have those too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what crossed the board. SpongeBob does it, Shrek, even Dora the Explorer. The list goes on.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'd like to at least. I'm sorry, but to chime in on the manipulative nature of that. And make sure that's mentioned too, at how manipulating that is, especially if what you are connecting for the child is adverse.
Well,
right,
exactly. So the whole idea is to look at that, and I said, well, what if there was a character who really stood up for healthy eating, period? And that's where Charles the Chef came into form. I wanted him to be someone that has the look that kids will gravitate to, you know, the fun, the magic, but also one who gave a stern and clear message about what kids should eat. And as I've often shared in numerous interviews in the past, is that one of the characters that really I use as a model is Popeye. Now, those of us who are listening, who are old enough to remember Popeye, you know, he had the spinach, and the spinach made him strong. And I remember growing up with that, listening and watching Popeye, and wanting to buy spinach. And I still eat spinach to this day. Now, I don't have as big as muscles as I would like, but I'm pretty healthy. But the point is that Popeye influenced not only children to eat better during the 1950s, but he also influenced parents. Why? Because children influence their parents to buy. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. They advertise to us and to our children throughout the whole year, so by the time the parents get to Christmas, they're buying whatever the child wants. That's the power of advertisement, and as Mishindo said, the power of manipulation as well. So anyway, to come full circle, Charles the Chef is the character to combat that. We are working hard to make sure that we can grow him to a brand that you will see Charles the Chef cereals, Charles the Chef toys, things that kids can look to and parents can look to that can bridge the gap to better health for them. Because if the parent doesn't have to argue with their child as much about eating healthy because they have Charles the Chef there to kind of tout that message, it's easier for them now to get their kids to choose better foods. And that's really overall the purpose of Charles the Chef and, okay, and what prompted me to come up with him.
And Mishindo, before you speak on the other part of the question, if for our listening audience, if the audience wants to get in touch with Roosevelt and you, Mishindo, how would they go about doing that? Do you have a web page or email?
Yes, I do. I do have a website. You can contact me through www.mishindoiart.com. That is Mishindo, MSHINDOIART.com. And my email address is on the webpage.
Okay.
Roosevelt?
Well, for me, you can reach me at www.charlesthechef.com. And that's charlesthechef.com.
Okay, great. But it is important for our audience, if they get in touch with you later, they have a way
sure
to do that. Now, Mishindo, if you, I know
yes,
you had the second part of this question.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, Roosevelt and I have a very long relationship as far as dealing with taking ideas and manifesting characters and properties and the like. We've worked in comic books on our own, you know, probably more than 18 years. But together, we've been working roughly about 18 years, I think. I mean, I always have to ask him to make sure, but it's about 18 years we've known each other, right, Roosevelt? I mean, I actually have a working, functional relationship. So at the point in that relationship where Charles the Chef came, we were very familiar with how our minds operate. And just the way he spoke earlier about the reason that he came up with Charles the Chef is how he gave it to me and what he wanted to project. And I took that from there. And the relationship create such a trust that normally whatever I create is pretty satisfied because I've been able to understand how to interpret the information that he's given while bracing up the idea that he has with my articulate experience. And for Charles the Chef, at first, if you look at some of the first illustrations of Charles the Chef, he's kind of a little pudgy. And initially, and I think Roosevelt kind of picked it up, is that I wanted him to be very cute, and the reason he kind of changed slowly is because since he's and he actually had a piece of cherry cake in his hand, because again, children and these kinds of things, and as it developed, as things developed, Roosevelt and I actually looked at that and wanted to be concerned about exactly the message that even something as subtle as that would give. Not that cake can't be healthy, but there's alternatives to everything. So we eventually changed that for a sprig of broccoli. And he slimmed down somewhat because if you are active and you eat healthy, you will have a more svelte, aquiline, I think, appearance. And I think that's general knowledge. So as he outlined the farmer, as he outlined the Asian fish market owner, along with Inez Lopez, because he did design a very multicultural cast for the book. And that's very reflective of the universality of how Brother Roosevelt tries to think and imagine. Mm-hmm. And that I thought was a wonderful aspect to it. And both of our children, as well as myself, is in the book as a character.
Mm.
So, right. So what's really cool is taking the specs from him and almost stereotypically creating the characters, like Philip Farmer has his overalls, you know, and he looks like a man who, you know, works the farm. He has his hat, he has his mustache, you know, and he has a dog. That's a collie. The Asian market owner, Mr. Young, you know, very much looks like he would be dealing with fish and so forth. I mean, that's pretty much the process that it went through. You know, and the initial sketches were done. Roosevelt had the story completed, and we actually pitched, you know, those few items, just the story in about 6 of them, you know, to an investor, and really got a great response, and the project started. And I think it was about 3 years later, we actually had a hardcover book that we produced.
Wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's ask you, you made the pitch to the investor and you got the book all put together.
Yes.
Do you think that Charles the Chef has made an impact on children and their eating habits? And if so, how has it impacted them?
Well, I think in the scope, you know, and in the short time, that it has actually been present in the market, you know, and the different school events, church events, the different libraries that we've gone to and exposed the property to. We do think that it has made a difference in that small demographic that it has reached, because the idea and the stimulation of eating healthy and how we present it, because I also do dancing. I show the children an African Brazilian martial arts called capoeira, along with some of my other dancing forms, as a way to brace up the idea of eating healthy with the idea of being active, quote, not being a couch potato. And I mean, Roosevelt, you can chime in and add to that.
Well, I think that based on my viewpoint and things that I've experienced throughout our shows, kids are ready to absorb a new information, and when it comes to health, believe it or not, a lot of what they get is very diluted and confusing for them.
Right.
So the way Machino and I have actually presented our shows, it's really simplistic, but in
mm-hmm.
a way that they were able to retain the importance. Like one of the catchphrases that we use with Charles the Chef, or two actually, one of them is "Let's get cooking." And that's the magical catchphrase that Charles says. And with that
right.
with that catchphrase and magic, his hat comes alive. He has a magical chef hat named Thomas. And Thomas is where the magic comes from. With Thomas, he can almost do everything. He can transport to Africa at a moment's notice through a portal. He also has a magical kitchen that Thomas's magic brings those kitchen appliances to life. So we're not only teaching about eating, we're also teaching about kitchen etiquette, kitchen navigation, you know. And kids like that because one thing, again, and I have to say again, being a father of 5 kids, I use them as my guinea pigs often, whether they know it or not. And one thing I've learned is that kids really, even at a young age, they want to help. They want to know. They want to absorb. So my kids are always in the kitchen watching me. And those that are old enough ask if they can help. And I say to all parents out there, you better take advantage of it while you can, because when they get teenagers, they may not want to. They may not want to help you. So
right.
you might want to take advantage of that while you can. But be that as it may, they always get to learn. So go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. Did I didn't mean to cut across you.
No. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, what I was going to say is the impact, I think, is felt, as Roosevelt said, because we have the children stimulated with this moment. And I know some of the prizes that we give away for answering correct questions about health and some of the things that we give away during the events take the conversation back home, and that becomes probably something that lasts for quite a few hours, if not a few days after that. And if the parent then uses that to capitalize on, I really do think that it could make quite a difference. And you have the book as a reminder, because the one thing Roosevelt and I agreed on initially is that this isn't something that we wanted parents to just give to the child. And as Roosevelt said before, sort of babysit the child. Just be moments that it would keep the child out of the parent's hair or out of trouble. But we wanted it to be an interface between the parent and the child to create an ongoing conversation about paying attention to our health based on what we put in our mouths, which is where a lot of our ailments come from initially, is because we are not eating properly.
And one thing I also try to share in these events is, I sort of look at it coming in the back door when you're trying to address parents, because no parents want to think that they're feeding their children poorly. So what we try to do is, again, back to entertainment, but also educate, because we have to understand there are a lot of things, as one of my mentors used to say, you don't know what you don't know. So what we try to do is also share with the parents to be more aware of their eating habits and what they purchase. And one rule of thumb is that if it's not in the house, you can't eat it.
Right.
You know, something just as simple as that can really change the healthy life or the health lifestyle or the eating lifestyle of a whole family just by making better choices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Machindo, let me ask you a question. In this whole area of eating, and of course, I've certainly noticed and you hear more in the news about obesity, and especially
yes.
obesity with the lower extremity. In your bio, it talks about you being a vegetarian and also a vegan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I wouldn't say vegan, because I mean there are every now and then certain things that I will indulge in every now and then. But even that is, I'm lessening the indulgence. You know, like maybe if I'm out or traveling on the road, there'll be certain cookies. Like today, since I'm in Atlanta and I'm on a business trip, I actually had a few Famous Amos cookies.
Okay, but now what's the difference?
Well, the difference is how the product is made, because cookies in and of themselves, no food, I think, even the fast food construct in and of itself is bad. It's how it's prepared, because now, again, like I said, in the process of looking at vegetarianism and alternating, and by the way, that is pre-meat vegetarianism. Because when I was initially introduced to the idea of vegetarianism and what I read about, that just seemed to include, you know, vegetation, lots of grains, nuts, herbs, lots of live food, include exercise and things of that nature. But somehow along the process, vegetarianism, you know, what was added to that was chicken and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that transition happened. So now you have to clarify by saying vegan. So in the next 10 years, I'm not exactly sure where that's going to go. Maybe it'll need to be bleegan or fegan or something, you know.
Okay.
But the idea of, let's say, a burger, the same construct of what you have at a McDonald's, right? If you take that burger and you make it out of plant material like mushrooms or a garden burger that has even vegetables within it, and you take the bread and you make it a whole grain or something like spelt that doesn't have the possible constipating nature of some of the other as some of the other grains. It's more of a nutritional yield, and you can add different vegetables, of course, like instead of the iceberg lettuce, which has little nutritional value, you can add things like kale and spinach. So again, the shape, you know, or the menus themselves aren't bad. It's how they're prepared, how, you know, to commercialize things. A lot of times what I notice is the value of it at times seems to diminish.
Yes.
Commercial food. So you have the push now to eat organic, you know, which means that we kind of allow nature to do what it has been doing long before, you know, humans were here. I trust nature, actually, because that's kind of why we're all here. I don't think that I am heavy enough an entity to replace what nature has done so well.
Right. Okay. Again, for our audience, if you don't mind, if you'll give again how people could get in touch with you. And then we do have some callers on the line, and I'll see if I can...
Can round them up.
Yep, and tap into them and see if they have any questions. Then we'll come back to Rosa.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Well,
no,
you can...
You yeah. mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you can go visit my website, www.mishindoiart.com. That's MSHINDOIART.com. Brother Roosevelt.
And you can reach me at www.charlesthechef.com. That's charlesthechef.com.
All right. We have a caller from the 559 area code, and I'll see if that person might have a question. Are you on the line now, the 559 area code? And do you have a question? Okay, maybe not. All right. Okay, we have a caller from the 250 area code. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I hear a voice.
I hear a voice?
Yeah, I do. I heard her for a brief minute.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, do you have a question for Roosevelt or Mishindo?
I wanted to just put out a lot of love to Roosevelt and Mishindo. They've done a great job.
Thank you.
I do have one of their books in our college library. I'm calling from Canada. My name is Leanne.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. And thank you, for supporting.
You're very welcome. And, you know, I think the most important thing that people seem to forget, their involvement and the parents' involvement in the health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this book does. When your child is young, you sit down and you read them a story and being involved in their lives and going from that, from reading when they're young to shopping with them and cooking with them.
Yes.
And that's when
yes.
we have a healthy lifestyle.
I agree 100%. I agree.
Right.
I have done that with my children with a number of things because as an artist, I never really commuted. So that allowed me to spend the waking hour and the sleeping hours with my children, influencing their choices. Because I never ask my children to do anything that I'm not doing. That's cooking, being healthy and all of that. They see Daddy exercise. They see Daddy prepare the food. They see him keep the house clean as to keep the energy flowing positively through it. I have to live what I want them to live so they can not only learn it directly, but they can learn it vicariously.
Great job, Mr.
Well, I would speak a little bit on that, too. Now, granted, I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian. I'm not even close. But it has been nevertheless, a transition for me to make the change that I have made, and I've made some good strides.
Mm-hmm.
But as Chino mentioned, as well as Leanne from Canada mentioned, that we are the first role model that our children see as parents.
Yes.
And so it's really important that we recognize that fully and understand that, you know, they're keeping their eye on us. And what we do, they will follow. So it's not about, you know, do what I say. They're going to do what you do.
Right.
90% or more of the time. And I really stress it at a lot of our events that Mishindo and I attend that, you know, parents, you know, if you have a particular eating habit when you're frustrated and if you go and grab the bucket of ice cream and you chow down because you're upset, Well, you know, even though your child is 2 or 1.5, they see that
right. And
they pick it up.
Right.
So
there will be repercussions.
They're going to do the same thing when they get upset. They're going to say, well, Mom, grab the bucket of ice cream.
Right.
So we really need to understand the strength and the importance of that particular bit of knowledge.
Right. All right. Okay.
Thank you very much, caller. And contact us if you have any further questions. Okay? Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. We have a caller from the 225 area code. Caller from the 225 area, do you have a question? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Do you have a question for Roosevelt or Machindo?
Yes, I have a question for Roosevelt.
Okay, go ahead.
Roosevelt, will you be by chance coming to the Louisiana area? Because I really think the book will be a big influence on a lot of the children here, because you, as you know, being in Louisiana, there's a lot of children, plus adults, that can really chow down on Cajun food and not so much on the nutrition part.
Right.
Well, you are fortunate. Believe it or not, I will be in Louisiana near New Orleans, I believe it's Baton Rouge, in October. There is a huge book festival going on there that I was actually very fortunate to be able to be invited to attend. I'm actually going to be there putting on a small food demo, as well as sharing books and speaking on Charles the Chef and what he stands for. So hopefully, if you get a chance, please come out and sign a book and be a part of the
and make that connection. Because if you have any programs that we could be a part of, you know, to share what we have going on with Charles the Chef, please feel free.
That sounds great. By the way, I'm Valerie in Louisiana, and I look forward to seeing you in October.
Okay. And you can
send
us an email, again, with any questions or any other information, because we do tours, and we're actually stretching out further and further away from home base. So Louisiana is not impossible.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right. Well, before we have about 5 minutes before we go off the air, Roosevelt, now you mentioned that you have 5 children.
Yes, and that's all.
Right. I was going to say he left a 6 off that number.
And I'm sure it's a challenge keeping them on the right path to good health. Has developing Charles the Chef helped them in the area of eating?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The way that it has helped, to be in all honesty, it has helped me. As parents, we have to understand it really begins with us. So, and of course, I have to give my business partner, Machindo, a lot of kudos and credit as well. He charted the vegetarian course long before I even thought about what vegetarian meant. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it I learned from him as far as alternatives. And as he knows, I would call him on numerous occasions just to lean on his knowledge of what other things I can try to introduce to myself as well as my kids. But, again, it starts with me. So by studying and growing Charles the Chef, I had to improve my knowledge. I had to. There's no way I can go out and speak on things that I have no idea about. So as I learn more about food products, alternatives, of course it grew Charles the Chef, but it also helped me to change my own eating lifestyle. So now my kids can look at me, as Machindo illustrated perfectly earlier, I can set the pace. I can set, the way that things should flow eating-wise. So when I'm eating my vegetables, well, they see me doing that, and they follow suit. Now, is it a slam dunk? Well, no. Because for 5 kids, everybody has their own different tastes.
Right.
But on the other hand, back to what I said before, you can only eat within the house. So,
right.
So the kids, you know, have to eat what is provided for them, you know. If I have more healthy things here, then those are the only options. And kids, you know, they will normally follow suit. And the whole idea is to really help them to chart their own healthy eating lifestyle course once they are out of the house and move on. And that seems to be working out well.
Okay, okay. Now, before the show ends, do you have any upcoming events? I know both of you have traveled on the East Coast quite a bit, but do you have any upcoming events that you'd like to promote?
Well, again, you know, I will be in Louisiana, near New Orleans, Baton Rouge, first time there. We do have some small events within the state that we're in North Carolina. But
right.
on our website, which is actually under construction, you can actually go there, but we actually are adding more to it now. We're refurbishing
yes.
it, is what I like to call it. We will be having a blog section where anyone can go in and get up-to-date info on where we're going to be and where we're going in case they want to come out and pay us a visit.
Okay. All right. I'm going to allow, I'm going to check the 252 caller.
Okay, fantastic.
252 caller, are you on the air?
Hello?
Yes, are you on the air?
Yes, I can hear.
Do you have a question or a comment for Machindo or Roosevelt?
Oh, I would just like to tell Machindo and Roosevelt that I enjoyed the program tonight. It was very, very helpful. Of course, I'm old
Thank
and
you.
All that. And I don't even know if they know who is the voice I am, but they'll recognize when I call them later on.
No, I know where it is. I'm gonna go ahead and put it out there.
That's right, guys. Go ahead and tell.
Whoever's listening, that's my father. He's one of my biggest supporters.
Definitely. How you doing, Pop?
How you and Machindo? Machindo, how
we
you doing?
We are doing excellent. It's good to hear you, Papa.
And Felton?
Yes.
Yes, I enjoyed it, man. I really did. I was both of them. They know I have always been behind them, and they're doing a wonderful job, and I hope they go farther and farther and help more and more kids because we need that kind. Because I'm not the fat people like you people think I am, but I do a lot of eat. I eat everything I can think of. But I don't like for kids to do that because the kids today are eating all this fast food, and they're getting huge. Thank you. I enjoyed it. Good night.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, Papa. Love you.
Take care.
All right. Roosevelt, Machindo, if you'd like to give again to our listening audience how they can reach you before we conclude our program tonight.
Okay. One more time. My website is www.machindoiart.com. That is machindoiart.com.
And mine, once again, is www.charlesthechef.com, and that's charlesthechef.com.
All right. And in the last minute, either one of you, is there anything you'd like to share with the audience that you've not had a chance to share with them, or something that I might have asked?
Well, it'll be more, if you don't mind, Roosevelt, it'll be more about reinforcing the idea that a whole lot of our ailments comes to us via one bite at a time. And it's because there is a lot of information about nutrition, but commercials and fast food and sweet foods are usurping the knowledge of what we should have. So I would implore people to look for alternatives because they are there, and we don't have to be as sickly as we are. That, too, after a point, is by choice because God has given us many things just in the earth that will be our healing and our medicine. And that I'll end on that note.
All right. Well, again, this is Felton Wooten, one of your Monday night hosts. I certainly appreciate Roosevelt and Machindo joining us on thinkbigradio.com. You've shared tremendous information, and especially with our audience, we hear more in the United States and we see people gaining weight and the negative impact on health, and we certainly applaud your efforts.
Right. Thank you very much for having us, and it was an incredible pleasure.
All right.
Say,
thank you.
Can I just say one last thing?
Sure.
Healthy eating healthy eating comes from healthy homes.
Ah.
Okay, and so let's all eat better to live better.
Right.
All
eat better
right.
to live better.
And I think we'll end our program as the listening audience, because you talked about family. We're going to end it with "It's a Family Affair" by Fly in the Family Stone.
All right.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay.
All
many
right.
blessings. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and bound, blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair. Anyway, 'cause you're all broke down. It's a family.